The Society of Women Engineers, the community for women in engineering. Let's learn about its community, conference, scholarships, and benefits. Welcome to the 262nd episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target programs and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" Not only in, but in at the best program for you. I'm so pleased to have on the show Karen Horting, Executive Director and CEO of the Society of Women Engineers. Karen worked in marketing after earning her bachelor's in bio at Northern Illinois University, and she earned her MBA from the Johns Hopkins Carey Business School in 2000. She has served as Marketing Director of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and the Director of Strategic Planning for the New York Academy of Sciences before coming to the Society of Women Engineers in 2004. She became Executive Director and CEO in 2014. Let's learn more about the Society. Karen, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hi, Linda. Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Now, let's start with the real basics. What is Society of Women Engineers, and can you give me a little bit of the background as to its founding and history?
Sure. So Society of Women Engineers is a professional organization for women in engineering. Our mission is to empower women to achieve full potential in careers as engineers and leaders. We want to expand the image of engineering and technology professions as a positive force in improving the quality of life and to demonstrate the value of diversity and inclusion. We've been around since 1950. And really, since our very beginning, we've been about helping women succeed and advance in careers as engineers and leaders. We are a membership organization. We're a little over 40,000 members worldwide. And that's everyone from girls pursuing engineering careers to seasoned professionals and women who are now in retirement.
Wow, so you have quite a range. As it happens, and having absolutely nothing to do with this podcast, I just started reading Hidden Figures. I saw the movie, I guess a year or two ago when it was out, and I very much enjoyed it. And I'm reading the book now. And of course, that is covering the period when the organization just got started.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of what you see there is really why the organization was founded. You know, women were very much a minority in the workplace and in engineering schools. They often felt that in perhaps the discipline societies that they were a part of, they didn't have a voice. Certainly within the workplace, they didn't have a voice. And so they felt that forming their own organization would be a great way to support each other, to have a network, and to help each other learn and grow and succeed in the profession. We have a podcast series we do as well through SWE, and we've been using our archives recently, some of the oral histories and that we've done. And we've got one that we just released the past couple of weeks about some women that persisted under some pretty trying situations. And so it might be a good accompaniment to what you're reading with Hidden Figures to take a listen to.
Sure. If after the webinar you could send me a link, we'll link to it from our show notes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And that would be exhibit.com/262. So we'll link to that podcast. But it is interesting. I can just a little vignette. My husband is an actuary. And as a very young actuary in the late 1970s, we were at some social occasion, and we happened to be talking to an older woman, probably a woman a little older than I am right now. But so she got her education, her college education in the 1930s. And we didn't even know if she had a college degree when we were talking to her. And she had just met my husband, and she said to him, "What do you do professionally?" And said, "Oh, I'm an actuary. Do you know what that is?" And she said, "Yes, I have my master's degree in it." You could have knocked both of us over with a feather. And then he asked, "Did you ever work as an actuary?" And she said, "No, I couldn't get a job as an actuary." Now, it's not clear in my memory if at the time, again, this was the 1930s, she couldn't get a job as an actuary because she was a woman or because she was Jewish, because at the time, the insurance industry did not hire Jews. But again, we were really surprised to hear that at that point in time, a woman had gone for a technical degree in the STEM fields. Why do you think women are still underrepresented in the STEM fields and in engineering specifically?
Well, you know, the research shows us that really the number one factor for this from the data that we have is that it's unconscious bias. We did a study back in 2016 that focused on the workplace, and it was called Climate Control. And it showed that, you know, almost 40% of female engineers leave the engineering workforce by mid-career.
Really?
And really the number one, and really the number one factor was sort of that implicit or unconscious bias that affects things like hiring, promotion, compensation. And so a lot of the work that we do with our employer partners is really talking about that and what are things that they can do to make managers aware of unconscious bias, but then also best practices to, as we say, be bias interrupters and interrupt those biases and really let not only women, but other underrepresented minorities really succeed and advance within their organizations. And I think those, you know, those same things exist in K-12 education and at the university level, where it's, you know, perceived as engineering not being a career for women, or women aren't interested in things that involve math. And science. And it's very much not true. Women do exceptionally well on AP courses in math and science, and certainly well through middle school, have an interest in innovation and especially for women, you know, that desire to help others and do impactful work. And as I always say, when I'm out doing panels and talks, I can't think of a career that's more impactful than engineering, because just about everything in our daily lives.
It's also all about problem solving.
Yes, all about problem solving, challenges, you know, math and science being some of the tools that are used in that. But, you know, just one element of it, it's really about improving lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, the more we can do to break those stereotypes in a lot of our outreach work, we do work with educators and parents as well as the girls, because we know that they're so influential, and really just kind of educating them and helping to break those stereotypes.
Okay. Now, I was in preparing for the call. I noticed that the benefits of membership in SWE fell broadly into these categories: community, learning and professional development, and scholarships and awards. I'm going to ask about all three, but I'd like to start with community. What does community mean at the Society of Women Engineers?
Community for us is really a number of different things, but I would say probably the number one is that community of support.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at SWE, as you mentioned, since 2004, mm-hmm. and I don't think I've ever been out talking to members where someone hasn't mentioned, until I found SWE, I thought I was the only one, you know, maybe the only one in their department, perhaps the only one at their site, the only one in a particular course path that they were on. And they came to SWE and they found other women like them who were succeeding, who were overcoming challenges. And it just felt all of a sudden, I'm not alone. I've got a place that I can turn to for advice, or even just an ear to listen, who will understand what I'm going through, or understands the work that I'm doing, and that I can talk about, you know, the technical things that I'm working on, and perhaps, you know, find somebody that can help me with a particular challenge I'm having from the engineering aspect of the work that I'm doing.
Right.
And then also, you know, the role models and mentors. I think it's so important, even at the university level, you know, the numbers of female faculty are still pretty low. So being able to connect with other women, and, you know, you hear it a lot, you've got to see it to be it. And I think that's one of the things SWE really provides, is that you're able to see it. You know, you're able to see women who are working in industry or government or academia and are being successful and doing really phenomenal, interesting, impactful work. And so just, you know, having that place that you know you can connect with like-minded individuals, I think for us is really that community.
Community frequently means getting together with people, or even having a particular commonality of interest. SWE is international, and engineering is an extremely broad field. So how does SWE, let's say, support someone who happens to be located in North Carolina and working in aerospace engineering, as opposed to somebody who could be working in mechanical engineering in Chicago, as opposed to somebody who's working in Abu Dhabi in petroleum engineering? Do you hear my question?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the great things about SWE is that our members do come from all over the world and from all engineering and technology disciplines. And you know, we do a lot of face-to-face events, both in the U.S. and outside the U.S. We have what we call sections and affiliates. So much like some organizations might have chapters, we have the sections and affiliates, and that's where a lot of the activity really takes place. And so you're able to connect with people in your local community. And even though they may be coming from a different engineering discipline, they certainly know the field and they're able to talk about work-life challenges. If you're looking for somebody from your own discipline, we have a really robust member directory, so you can look for people that are coming from your industry or meeting people locally who you can say, hey, I'm looking for someone with this particular expertise. Do you know somebody? Or through our online forums and social media. We find that our members and our stakeholders are really good at connecting and finding each other. But we do find that the face-to-face is important, and that's why we really strive to provide support to those local activities so that women do have a place to connect. But yet, providing the virtual platforms, because we know people have really busy lives these days, and so they aren't always able to get to a face-to-face event, but still have that way to connect virtually.
Is there any kind of formal mentoring structure that's provided through SWE?
So we haven't had a formal mentoring structure, though we recently have formed a group within one of our committees that is looking at formalizing a little bit more. We know that in some parts of the country, they've had some things that they've been doing formally that have worked really well. So right now we're looking at, you know, what are those best practices and how can we share that across the organization? One of the things I've found in a lot of my work with our corporate partners is that the informal mentoring programs seem to be more successful than the formal programs. So it's kind of like people finding each other and then working together versus, you know, some elaborate matching system and that sort of thing. So we're kind of looking at a hybrid of that, I think, of how do people find each other, but then also how do you have those successful mentor-mentee relationships.
Does SWE help its members find jobs? Is there any kind of job board or professional development part of SWE? I mean,
yes,
you say there is, but...
Yes, absolutely. So two parts. First, the finding job. We have our annual career fair at our annual conference where we have 300 plus employers from all sectors of engineering that are there looking to hire everyone from interns to seasoned professionals. We also have an online job board. And the last 3 or 4 years, we've started doing a virtual career fair as well. Specifically targeting women with at least 3 years of experience to help our employers who are looking to get someone that's got a little bit of experience, help them connect with those women. And we find also the SWE network. I talk to so many SWE members who say, you know, I wasn't really sure I was looking for something new, and I happened to be talking with somebody at a SWE event or a SWE meeting, and, you know, one thing led to another, and that's how I found my next career opportunity. So I think back to that community and that network is also a piece of how people find jobs through the SWE network. And then to the second piece, the professional development. So we have an online learning portal as well as the face-to-face conferences and workshops that we run that help to provide those leadership skills that we know that people need in addition to their technical expertise to be successful. So kind of the avenue to find the opportunities, but also the professional development to make sure you're ready to pursue those opportunities.
Sounds good.
One of the things I wanted to touch on that kind mm-hmm. of falls into the finding jobs is something we started a couple years ago is our STEM reentry task force.
Okay.
And this was designed to help bring women back who'd had a career break.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with a company called iRelaunch, which had been doing reentry programs primarily in the financial services industry mm-hmm. and having real success. And they had talked with SWE and said, you know, we should be interested in piloting something for women in engineering. And we said, yes, absolutely. And we got with some of our employer partners to do a pilot. And now we're going into our third year of running these programs where employers are bringing women back to the workforce in what we would call returnships. Mm-hmm. So kind of the internship model, but again, recognizing these are experienced professionals and these are paid positions, but where they come in and they do these returnships with organizations for, you know, some maybe 8 weeks, some organizations that are part of this are running 6 month programs. And then at the end, they have the opportunity for full-time employment. And we're seeing huge success with this program. And we've got people returning who have had just a couple of years of career break, upwards of 20 years of a career break. So
wow.
It's been really groundbreaking for organizations and for our members, you know, tapping into that talent pool.
It's also great for employers. I mean, there's a shortage of people with technical skills in the marketplace.
Absolutely. And it's really, you know, it's a win-win because it's a two-way street. It's a chance for that returner, you know, to try to come back, to see if, you know, now is the time to return, to try an organization. And then also for the organization, you know, to see the talent and the skills the person brings. And like I said, both employers and those who have done the returnships, it's been glowing, the feedback.
How many women have participated in it approximately, let's say per year? I assume it's a growing number.
It's a growing number. I think all together, when we look at the three cohorts that we've had go through, probably somewhere between 300 to 400. Some of the cohorts within each organization have been fairly small, mm-hmm. and then others have been, you know, 40 to 50 that are part of a cohort. So, and again, those organizations that were part of the first cohort are now continuing to run and grow the program. So I don't think we've had anybody that's done one cohort that said, yeah, we don't really want to do that again. It's been more of, oh my gosh, how do we ramp this up? How do we do it, you know, outside the U.S.? How do we do it across the entire enterprise? So, and again, I think it's, you know, it's great for the country. When we, you know, we look at the talent shortage in engineering,
mm-hmm.
this is really a great opportunity.
Absolutely. It sounds like a wonderful program. I'm really glad you mentioned it. Now, going a little bit earlier in the, the professional life of your members, what kind of support does SWE offer college and graduate students or even, let's say, applicants to graduate engineering programs?
Mm-hmm. So we have what we call Grad SWE, which is a community of graduate students that is a lot of virtual activities, but also fits into that section model I was mentioning, where we have sections on most university campuses, and it's a chance for them to connect with each other, to connect with our Women in Academia Committee, where we've got women that are actually working in academia that are there for back to that mentoring and role modeling that we know is so important. We also do an annual academic leadership workshop for women in engineering. So for those junior faculty, as well as faculty who are perhaps more experienced but looking to move into department chair roles or dean roles,
mm-hmm.
And help them get those leadership skills that they need, again, in addition to their technical expertise. So, you know, things around financial acumen and other leadership skills that are important when you're managing budgets at the university and, you know, you're managing employees and other things. How do you do that successfully and prepare to move into more impactful leadership roles within academia. So kind of a face-to-face as well as a virtual approach. But again, back to that network, making sure that those who are pursuing graduate school have an opportunity to connect with like-minded women, as well as those who have come before them who can serve as those role models. And then also connecting them with industry. So, mm-hmm. Certainly going into academia is one pathway once you finish graduate school, but there is also a great need for those advanced degrees within industry, within the national labs, those sorts of things. So helping our graduates.
The majority go into non-academic positions, wouldn't that be true?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, yes. So helping them really connect and see the opportunities that are out there.
I just want to editorialize here for a second, and that is that I know in terms of the MBA, when there's a lot of research and data on MBA hiring, and I don't think it's limited to MBAs, what frequently distinguishes people getting leadership roles is not their technical skills at all. It's their leadership skills. It's the so-called soft skills. It's the mm-hmm. interpersonal and communication skills. So the fact that you're offering, and you know, there are people who go get the MBAs, specifically engineers, to get those leadership skills. So if one can acquire those skills through SWE or not through an MBA, you might just be saving yourself a whole lot of money and time. Not that I'm opposed to the MBA or that's all the MBA gives, but those are the skills that business schools look for in applicants. And those are the skills that employers are looking for after they get out of business school. So those skills are really, really important.
Yep, I concur. And I mean, we hear that a lot from employers about, you know, people being project ready and able to lead. And a lot of that is beyond the technical expertise. It's, you know, how do you motivate people when you don't have the authority? Or, you know, how do you lead global teams? And, you know, how do you get people from all these diverse backgrounds working as one toward a common goal? And so people that are able to do that and have some political savvy in terms of navigating the organization, yeah, are absolutely able to advance faster and to higher levels than those who don't have it.
And those are not skills typically taught in, you know, these incredibly difficult classes and, you know, higher math and engineering and you know, stuff that I wouldn't dream of. But those are absolutely critical to professional advancement.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I mean, you know, pursuing an engineering degree, the time and expense of doing that, often, you know, you've got to stay on what are the courses I absolutely have to have and then, you know, the work I need to do in my internship and those sorts of things. So to be able to get those leadership skills and that through your participation in SWE, I think is huge. And something certainly even, you know, when we hear from the first president of SWE, she talks about, you know, being able to get those skills and have access to the network that will help you with that, you know, being really the reason for founding the organization.
Can we dive into the topic of scholarships offered through SWE? You know, there are many young women looking for assistance with funding their education.
Yes, so SWE has a very robust scholarship program. This year, we will award at the society level about $750,000 in scholarships toward women pursuing undergraduate and graduate engineering degrees. And then, as I mentioned, that we have the local sections. Many of those also have scholarship programs as well that support women pursuing engineering degrees. So big part of what we do is working with employers and foundations to raise money to support those scholarships, because we know, financial barriers can be huge. And so the ability to be able to provide scholarships and some of those scholarships provide SWE membership. Some also provide access to internships with the organizations that sponsor those scholarships. So there's a lot of resources once you become a SWE scholarship recipient that you have access to that I think are very beneficial as well.
Right. I'm just to make sure I have it straight out. So you have scholarships for entering college students, current college students, and also graduate students, right?
Correct. Correct.
Right. Do you have, I'm thinking of a particular client that's working with us now, is very interested in going into STEM fields. I think her specific interest is bioengineering. She is currently in high school. Do you have any sections or groups for high school students also?
We do. We okay. do. So we have what we call SWE Next, which is our pre-college program.
And what's that
and
again?
So that, it's called SWE Next.
Okay. Got it.
And so kind of a SWE Next, our next generation of SWE. And we have all sorts of virtual programming as well as events for girls to do hands-on engineering activities, to meet engineers and engineering students, to learn about scholarship opportunities, to learn about, you know, proper academic preparation to enter engineering school. And this is where I was mentioning that we also do concurrent things for parents and educators. Once you're a senior in high school, then you're able to apply for scholarships that would, you know, start with your freshman year of college.
So, got it.
I encourage anyone listening who's considering engineering as a career path to get involved early on with SWE Next so that you can learn about all the resources that are out there to help you be successful as you enter that engineering program and then beyond.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming SWE conference? I think it's in October, right?
Yes. So it's in October, October 18th through 20th in Minneapolis, Minnesota, anticipating about 14 to 15,000 women engineers and engineering students to be there. Wow. It's unbelievable in terms of the programming that goes on. So we have various tracks for all career stages. So whether you are, a junior in college, we've got things that are relevant for you. If you're moving into that executive leadership role, we've got things for those that are in that career stage, and then everything in between. And it's workshops, it's poster presentations. We have some keynote speakers, plenary panels, just about anything you could imagine is there. And again, it's really around the skills that you need in order to advance your career, an opportunity to interact with employers from all sectors, and a chance to build your network. I mean, I don't really know of another place where you can have access to women at all career stages.
Yeah.
And I mean, our keynote speakers, we have people that are in the highest ranks of industry and government, and they're just there after they do their talk, willing to speak with students, to speak with women within their own organization or outside their organization, you know, and I often go to things where the keynote speaker is whisked away and you never see them again. And the folks that we have that are participating in these sessions are there to help, are there to be part of the community, back to what we first talked about. And so
okay.
I think anyone who is in the field, considering the field, looking for that next career opportunity, this is really the place to be. Or, you know, any employers out there that are listening and saying, gosh, where do I find diverse talent? SWE is really the place for you.
Where do you see SWE going from here?
You know, I think there's still so much work to be done. I think for us, we want to see parity in the profession. You know, we want to see women equally represented at all career stages, in all industries. And so I think for us, continuing the work we're doing, expanding the community, both here in the U.S. and globally, trying to work with more employer partners so they understand, you know, what does it really mean to have an inclusive environment so that, you know, we're not just bringing in diverse talent, but we're retaining them and advancing them within the organization. So still work to do.
Yeah, I know you're a long way to parity, I believe, in engineering. I don't remember what the stats were, but they were quite different than parity.
Yes, we're about 12% of the workforce and close to 19% of the engineering bachelor's degrees.
Wow. Yeah, well, there's a way to parity. I guess you'll be busy for a while. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I won't. I don't have to worry about resting anytime soon.
No. What would you like listeners to know that we haven't discussed? What should I have asked that I haven't asked?
I mean, I think just the career opportunities that are there for women who pursue the profession. I mean, I don't talk to an employer in any sector who is not looking to increase their gender diversity. I mean, I think, you know, we're finally past the having the conversation about why diversity in the workforce is important. You know, I think most organizations have seen that they perform better, that there's better innovation, better solutions when they have diverse teams. So I think it's just, you know, getting the word out there that this is a profession that wants you, that has opportunity, that is well paying and has a lot of job security, and where you're going to be doing amazing, cool things. I mean, we have women working on, you know, in aerospace, working in, you know, biomedical, working in energy, automotive. I mean, just all the things that are improving lives and allowing us to do more things involve engineering, and certainly some of the grand challenges, you know, when we think about the planet and how are we going to make sure that everybody has food and water and energy. I mean, these are, you know, these are the things that we need diverse talent to help us solve and make sure we're ready for. And so I would say, girls, young women, women considering a career change, this is a profession that's for you. And we welcome you and encourage you to come be part of it.
It also strikes me that I agree with you that you need these problems solved. As I said earlier, I look at engineers as fundamentally being problem solvers, obviously innovators too, but innovation usually takes the form of solving a problem. It seems to me like if you're leaving out half the population, you're also probably leaving out half the people that could be the best talent to solve a given problem. I think that was part
of the point
of Hidden Figures, this book that I'm reading, and the movie, of course, from last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was, that you had these extraordinarily talented individuals that were being kept away, either as African Americans or as women, from achieving their potential and contributing to the well-being of society as much as they could.
Yeah, it's bringing that different perspective that maybe the you know, the one way of looking at something that's going to come up with the solution.
Right. I think we're running out of time, Karen. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners learn more about SWE?
So please come to our website, www.swe.org. And there you can find information about our upcoming conference, about our K-12 programs, as well as membership information, or to find a local SWE section in your area.
We're going to link from the show notes at exhibit.com/262 to SWE, as well as to the SWE grad resource that Karen mentioned, and probably SWE Next, maybe the conference. But certainly if you go just to the SWE site that Karen provided, I'm sure you'll get to all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you one last time about one of the resources that Accepted offers for engineers, women engineers, as well as male men engineers. We have a series of posts on applying to graduate programs in engineering. I'll link to the first of those posts, the kind of the basic one, the foundational one, applying to graduate engineering programs, what you need to know. And that will be at accepted.com/engineer. Linked to from this article are more detailed articles on writing a statement of purpose for graduate engineering programs, requesting letters of recommendation, highlighting key qualities in your application, and more. Listener, I also want to thank you for tuning in to this, our 262nd episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at exhibit.com/262. Again, that's accepted.com/262. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.